My name is Simon Cox. The date is the 20th of September 2009, and the time is 1:10 in the morning, and I'm interviewing on behalf of Wellcome Trust. Can I firstly ask you to say your name, age, and where you've come from?
I'm Paul Pritchard. I'm 59 years old, and I live in South Wales.
How long have you lived in South Wales for?
11 years now.
And what are you doing there at the moment?
I work for the Open University as a lecturer.
And what do you lecture in?
The arts, classical studies principally.
How long have you been doing this for?
20 years.
And where did it stem from?
Studying the classics? I got a bit bored being a math teacher in my mid-20s, so I went back to college and started learning Greek, and then did a PhD well into my 30s. So I'm a bit of a late developer in that field.
You mentioned you're a maths teacher. Of what age group and where?
Secondary schools. I had 3 years at a convent school south of Bristol, which was quite interesting.
Do you mind elaborating on that?
I was the only man in the establishment apart from the gardener, so I got a pretty easy ride from the nuns, and the other female members of staff were very considerate, and I got to learn about how women worked to some extent that I had no idea about, having been at a all-boys school when I was younger and in an all-male college when I was at university.
And what university did you go to?
I was at Trinity College, Cambridge.
What did you study?
Mathematics to begin with, and then philosophy.
What made you change from mathematics to philosophy?
I got a bit bored with the maths and I wasn't really cracking it very well.
What interested you about philosophy?
It wasn't so much I was interested in philosophy, it was just that was the only department that would take me. The other ones required qualifications, but it turned out to be what I'd be doing all my life anyway, so just being bloody-minded and argumentative. There you could do it as a profession.
You mentioned you changed from maths teacher and moved on from that. What was your thought process leaving that behind?
Well, I didn't entirely leave it behind because I had to continue to work as a maths teacher while I was educating myself as a classicist. Fortunately, I don't have to do that anymore. I can't really say what my thought processes were, except that I was looking for more of a challenge, I suppose.
And what do you find interesting about the classics?
It's just so broad that everything is there. Perhaps that's exaggerating. There isn't any nuclear physics. Well, actually, perhaps there is. There's every aspect of intellectual life and life generally is to be studied in the classics.
Would you describe yourself as an intellectual then?
Yeah, I probably would. Yeah.
And how would you define being an intellectual?
Being interested in ideas, I suppose.
Just to take you to the project, how did you first hear about it?
I can't remember now. Must have been on Radio 4, probably. That's where I get most of my information. What's going on in the world. Yeah, I imagine that would be where it was.
And what inspired you? What's your thoughts behind applying for it?
That was a mistake. I was, when the first day the plinth started, must have been, what was it, 6th of June, something like that?
Yes. Yeah.
My girlfriend, who lives in Amsterdam, was talking to me on the phone and she said, "Have you seen this plinth?" And I said, "No, I haven't seen this bloody plinth." And she said, "Well, it's quite fascinating. Have a look." So I put the website up and then she said, "Well, what would you do on the plinth?" So I said, "I know what I'd do on the plinth." So I told her. And she said, "Oh, that's a good idea. You ought to apply." By which time I had already applied because I'd calculated that I had very little chance of being selected because already the first 2 months were selected, and there seemed to be an awful lot of people had applied, and there weren't that many places left, so it seemed like a safe bet to get a bit of kudos with the girlfriend. And then, to my horror, the first draw that was made, out comes my name. So I felt really I had to go through with it. I think it would have been an offence against the gods, probably.
And how are you feeling at this moment in time?
I'm quite happy to be lifted up there and be allowed to perform for an hour.
And what will you be doing with your hour?
Yes. Well, my idea was that I would do a bit of archaeological experimentation, you could put it that way. See if it will function in the same way as the platform they used to have in ancient Athens, on which rhapsodes used to stand and compete in recitations or performances of Homeric epic. So I'm going to attempt the first book of Homer's Iliad.
And why Homer's Iliad?
Well, it's either that or the Odyssey. The first book of Homer's Iliad seems to be probably the canonical book to start with. Anyway, if I do that, then they maybe if we had 24 hours, we could have 24 rhapsodes and do the whole book.
And what are your expectations for going on the plinth?
My expectations? Well, apart from that I'll make an arse of myself, I don't really have any expectations. It's fortunately 2 o'clock in the morning, so there won't be huge crowds to barrack. On the other hand, there should be should be relatively peaceful, so that people might possibly be able to hear what I'm doing. But we'll see.
And will you be wearing anything in particular on the plinth?
Oh, well, I've got a nice yellow dress. Apparently rhapsodes were very highly decorated in their apparel. I won't be that highly decorated, but I'm making a gesture, putting on a bright frock. So I'll be visible and odd looking.
And where did you get this frock?
This was made for me by a girlfriend of mine when I was 21 years old, so it's a very old frock that I've been carrying around with me for nearly 40 years. It's quite fun to get it out and put it on again.
Would you mind just elaborating on the term rhapsodes?
A rhapsode. Well, okay. A rhapsode was a professional performer of Homeric epic. They used to have contests of rhapsodes in Athens, and they would be put up on this platform called a bama, and there they would recite and perform, actually, rather than recite, I think that would be a more accurate term. And in competition with other rhapsodes, so there would be prizes for the best one, according to whoever judged it. And this would be part of some sort of games or whatever. And this would be put on, say, artistic side of the games.
And did you know of Anthony Gormley's work before this project?
Yes, I'm quite familiar with his work, yes.
Anything in particular?
Well, the Angel of the North, obviously. And I did very much like, I don't know what it was called, those very small terracotta statues of people that were made by lots of other people, a very old one from years back. And the bodies in the sea, of course, a very clever idea. So, yes. I've been following his work because he was at the same college as me at the same time as I was. So.
Did you have any personal experience with him?
I did once spend a few happy hours in his room with some other friends. He painted a big white Pegasus on the side of one of our fellows' vans that I remember. It's not a very fine piece of draftsmanship, which is probably lying in some tip somewhere, ready to be brought up and used against him.
And you mentioned, obviously, being a lecturer in the arts. What in particular in modern society do you enjoy? What particular artworks or art forms do you enjoy?
In modern society? Well, I don't know. I do have to occasionally write or help people to write about artworks. So I have been forced to approach modern, very modern works of art through that work. But I don't seek it out myself.
For what reason?
Because I'm an idle bugger and I don't like going to museums. They give me a backache. I'm interested, but I can't be asked to go and look at it.
And so, obviously interested in the classics, are you more interested into classical art forms?
Well, in fact, the part of the classics which is where my interest principally lies is in philosophy, history of mathematics, that line of stuff. So, but again, through teaching, you have to deal with the whole gamut. So I'm obviously quite familiar with developments of sculpture in the archaic and classical eras and blah, blah. But that's not the principal reason why I'm interested in the classics.
What is the principal reason?
I'm interested in quite a lot of aspects of it, let's say, apart from the philosophy and the history of ideas, scientific ideas, mathematical ideas. I enjoy the theatre, the drama, comedy more than tragedy. I do enjoy teaching people about Aristophanes and his bawdy phallic comedies. Yeah, there's fun to be had.
And outside, actually, before I ask that question, how would you describe philosophy to the average person?
I'm not usually asked to describe philosophy to the average person. People who come to me for advice about philosophy usually know what they're coming for. But I suppose, harking back to what I was saying about when I first switched to the philosophy department at Cambridge, that I just discovered that doing philosophy was pretty much doing what I'd been doing all my life, which was being interested in getting to the bottom of things and liking to argue about things. So philosophy for me is a skeptical thing. It's a way of getting rid of ideas which don't stand up to examination, rather than finding ideas which help with life, which is another way you might approach philosophy.
Would you say that you ever find the truth in philosophy?
No, what you find is that the truth is very hard to find. That's for sure.
And what are your interests outside of work?
My interests outside of work? I garden. I like growing things. Cycling, although I'm more so in the past than now. I'm getting a bit aged now. But I do quite like doing that. Getting out in the countryside on a bicycle. I like travelling to Amsterdam, see the old girl. She and our girlfriend's in Amsterdam, so I enjoy visiting that city from time to time. I enjoy living in the Welsh countryside. I've got a house which has a wonderful view, which I sit and look at for many hours during the day out of my study window. So I enjoy the contrast between that and popping over to Amsterdam. That's good.
And how did you meet your girlfriend?
She was a student at an Open University summer school on philosophy, but a mature student, so it was all perfectly above board.
And what is it about you, the countryside, that attracts you to it?
It's quiet. And it's green. What else can one say? One is in touch with nature, which is rather banal, but that's about it, really. I don't like the concrete, the noise, the smell. It's very fresh there. The air is good in Wales.
Thank you. Can I just pick up on something that you said earlier about you always wanting to get to the bottom of things? Is there any way that you can describe how this first started or any reasoning behind?
I can never remember when I didn't want to do that. I mean, right from figuring out there couldn't possibly be a Santa Claus at the age of 5 and having to pretend that I didn't have this knowledge till my sister discovered when she was 9. Or her version of it is she knew all along there was no Santa Claus, but she was just going along with it because that was pleasing to the parents. But anyway, the point is that, yeah, right from the age of 5, I was working things out. Shit detectors were in operation. I can't remember when I wasn't philosophical in that sense of being skeptical.
And obviously it's led you into a particular career path, but how else has this influenced your life?
What, being skeptical? I don't know, really. It's hard to say what my life would have been like if I hadn't been of this cast of mind. That's a hard question. I'd have been a different person.
And this project is all about being a modern portrait of Britain. And so, if I can I ask you to try and paint a picture of yourself at this moment in your life?
Ha! No, you can't ask me that. No, you can ask me that, but I find that a really difficult thing to do. I don't like to pin things down in that sort of way. It's not my habit. I would find it very hard. Well, I think if I did say anything, I'd feel I was somehow bound by it. You know what I mean? It would kind of cut down on what the possibilities were of what I could be or am. Maybe that's it. Maybe that's a metaphysical fear. You're touching my weak point there.
Then can I ask, what plans do you have for the future?
Well, I want to survive, but not too long. So I suppose that's a way of saying I don't have any plans for the future, and we'll see what turns up. So far, it's been fine. Yes. The gods laugh when we make plans. That's one thing you learn from classical studies.